Hey everyone, welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 236, and today we're going to go over a case study that Cody has under contract. While listening to this episode, if you guys have questions, please head over to the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. If you're not part of the community, just search the Creative Financing Podcast in Facebook and ask to join. There will be a live session on the second Thursday of every month, so bring your questions. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can ask your questions in the comments below. Lastly, we want to thank you for subscribing, liking, and sharing this podcast with your friends.
Awesome. Thank you, Nicole. Yeah, the last one was so helpful. I wanted to get Jeff and your feedback on another one. So let's jump into it.
I actually love this. This is really good for me because I get to see where you're at, Cody. And now I get a different perspective because, you have some of your own ideas and we get Nicole's perspective. So I like doing this. This is good.
Cool. Yeah. So to set the stage on this property a little bit, it's a single family home up in Weber County here in Utah. So it's like a little north of Salt Lake for people that aren't familiar. So it's a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom home.
I'm going to share my screen. I'm going to write some of this down.
Is that right? Sure. Okay. That works.
Okay, so start again, Cody. What do you got?
Yeah, so up in Weber County,
Jeff, you have it on a letter of intent. Jeff is always doing work.
Go for it.
All right, it's in Weber County, Utah. 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom.
Okay.
Built in 1979. And it's just under 2,000 square feet. And this property, from the comps that I saw in the area, there was one worth $430 that sold just a month or so ago. That's just like a quarter mile away, so it's pretty close by. And the only other piece to add on there is that the square footage is just under 2,000. But for this house, it was owner-occupied, so he's living in there currently. He's ready to move. He's motivated to get out of the area, move to a new location, but he doesn't need all the money. He doesn't need all the money up front. So he was a perfect candidate for owner financing.
Love that.
Yeah. So I tried to do a lot of due diligence on the front end. So when I was actually having the conversation to dig into how much he needed as a down payment, how long he'd be willing to carry, not necessarily what kind of interest, but we did talk through that a little bit as well.
Okay.
To kind of get it all structured. And if you want, I can pull up my screen and share the actual letter of intent here. So I'll jump on. Let me know when you can see it. So I came up with one offer because we did talk so extensively about it. I had a really good idea of what he wanted. Okay. The big things for him were to get what he was asking for the property. So he had it listed up at $429,900. And he wanted to hit that price. He didn't want to keep doing price reductions, didn't want to drop it down. And he really wanted to hit that. And because the property is in pretty good condition, it won't need any repairs for a buyer right up front.
Okay.
I felt comfortable offering this price. It's not modernized. It wasn't done in the last year or two, but it's definitely livable. And then as far as the down payment goes, we went a little under 10% at $30,000 down. This is what I talked to him about. I told him we were closer to 5% on some of the down payments that we do. Does he need the money for anything in particular? And he didn't. So we were comfortable with this number.
What does he owe on this property?
Yeah, let me pull that up. That's a good question. I don't believe it's too much.
So this is, you're actually wrapping this deal, right? So there's an underlying debt?
Correct. There is an underlying debt. Let me grab
you don't have
that.
To pull anything up. You could just tell me.
I have it on a different monitor. Okay. I'm trying to track it down here.
Okay.
So he owes about $90,000 on it.
Okay.
And then the monthly payments are about $1,000 PITI. So he's going to be making some good income every month.
Yeah, so he's going to make about $800 plus 171 plus whatever insurance is, right? So
it's about $1,000 a month. So good. Yeah, definitely incentive for him there. He's going to make a good amount of cash flow. And the reason I came up to a payment of this amount is because from my exit strategy, I wouldn't have been able to get it low enough to be a good rental.
Okay.
So from pretty early on, I was eyeing it as being a owner-occupant.
Okay. What would this property rent for? Do you have any feel for that?
I saw it at about $1,900.
Okay.
So that's pretty middle of the road.
Just crazy for a $430,000 property.
Yeah.
Okay.
And after looking at all the expenses of what taxes would be, which are about $170 a month, insurance, which I put $150, and then repairs and maintenance about $150 to $200 a month, it just ate away at the cash flow and didn't seem like a viable exit strategy.
Okay.
So that's why I didn't care quite as much about the payment. So this is what an owner occupant would be paying. It's pretty close to what it would rent for. So I felt comfortable there.
Okay.
And then the interest rate wasn't too important to him. So we got a fairly low interest rate at 3.5%.
That was more about trying to get to that payment, correct? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So we couldn't have gone too much higher to keep the payment around this mark. And he was comfortable with that, better than you'll get conventionally.
Yep.
And then he was comfortable to go out for 10 years. So we have 120 months on the term, plenty of time for a buyer to pay it down, get prepared to refinance and go conventional.
Okay. So far, and you figured out what he will gross. You want to tell everyone how you came to that number and what that actually means?
Yeah. So over the 10 years, I had the gross for the seller at about $552,000, a little over that. And I found that by taking the monthly payments. So that's $1,796 times 120 months, which I don't know the exact number, but it went played into it. And then I added in the down payment of about $30,000. And then I added in the balloon payment of $307,385.
Yep.
So all those together would equal that $552,000. And it's gross because he does still owe some money on the property, that $90,000.
Perfect.
Okay. Hey, Cody, if the payments begin 60 days after closing, do you take that into account with the $120,000?
Yeah, so that is something we did on this one. So it'd be technically 120 payments, 122 months that it would go out, because he wanted to make sure that he got his 120 payments. So it will go 120 months in length.
Got it.
So you know, Cody, so now, because that's exactly what I would do on this, but now I'm showing it as term 122 months. But only 120 months of payments.
Just when you go to structure that.
On the LOI, I'm going to write that term instead of 120 is 122.
I see. Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like typically it would be 118 payments over 120 months if you were to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. But which might affect your balloon payment a little bit.
Slightly, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely helpful.
Okay. So now I'm curious about what your exit is.
So my exit was pretty simple. Because we're already at market value, because we're already at market rents, I didn't see a lot of room for myself to stay in the middle at a monthly, mark up the monthly payment by a couple hundred and stay in there. So all I did is look to sell it and make a wholesale fee on the front end. So my goal was around 445.
So we think that the ARV is pretty much what you're paying, right? 430.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So this exit strategy, the selling price is going to be over what it's worth.
Yep.
At that 445, which would bring the down payment up to 45,100. Just bring them both up by 15,100.
Which is basically 10% down, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, a fairly low down payment.
Yep.
So ended up doing that, and then that would put the present.
So you're back. Wholesaling this is really what you're arbitraging it. Yeah.
Yep. So not staying in the middle. I'd love to stay in the middle, but to me, I would have had to get better numbers on the purchase price and the monthly payment to be able to stay in the middle, especially the monthly payment, in my opinion.
So have you, has this already happened or is this in the works?
So this is in progress right now. And so we've had a good amount of interest from owner occupants that are wanting to come out and see the property and get through it.
Are you advertising it at 3.5%?
No.
Okay. So can we work through some numbers and just look at perhaps staying in the middle and see if it actually works?
Yeah. Here, I'll write down what I'm doing now and then I'll make another section so we can, we can start doing that. So what were you thinking if we were to stay in the middle?
So I don't know that the price will change much. The only thing that will really, I don't know that you could really sell it for any more than where you got it right now. So yeah. 445. Okay. But what are current interest rates right now?
Are they up to 5.5% or are they back?
They're somewhere between 5 and 5, probably just under 5.5, somewhere in that range. Okay.
Okay.
So what if you just sold this at 5.5, which certainly is still a good rate, right?
Yeah.
So, and none of the other numbers need to change. So you're financing, you'd still make your 15 grand up front, right? Mm-hmm. And now instead you will be figuring out, whether you want to stay in the middle. And so at 5.5, your payment will be $2,271.
Okay.
So 2,271 minus 1796 equals $475 a month cash flow. Is that worth it?
That's a pretty good cash flow, yeah.
So let's see what they would owe, how much you would make over the 10 years if that were to be, if it were to go out that long. So
the difference in the balloons?
Yes. Okay. So again, let's just call it 400,000, 5.5, 120 months. So, what is your balloon?
So my balloon is 307,385.
Yeah. So I don't know if, and that's 120 months.
Huh? Yep.
So is that so the real bound, the real money in this one is the cash flow. And so 400,000, 5.5, 2271. So your balloon would be 330, which doesn't make you a ton of money difference.
330, would that be? Oh, I see.
Yeah. They would owe you 330.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really make you a huge amount of difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But 475 a month does. Now the real question becomes is, do you want to mess with it, right? Because if you stay in the middle, if your buyer defaults, you're kind of responsible. And you'd probably want to continue to make payments to the seller while you go find someone else or get them out or do whatever is needed. And I think that's more of a business decision. 475 is pretty good cash flow, but you're not making any more money up front. And you make $13,000 over 10 years. Are there better deals to stay in the middle? Yes, for sure. So I would be totally okay if you didn't stay in the middle on this. And mostly because I know this area, right? So And to actually think that, these properties are now worth over $400,000 is kind of craziness. But I'm totally fine with you just doing it either way. But if you're trying to be risk averse, I'd probably do what you're doing is wholesale.
Well, now I'm tempted to stay in the middle because I see the money.
Well, it that's good cash flow on a property you don't own, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's $700 a year, and then at the end, you basically get another wholesale deal.
Yeah,
another assignment fee.
Yep. For some reason I was thinking you only made $13,000, but you almost make $23,000. Mm-hmm. You certainly could do it. And you don't even have to decide, right? As you get interested parties, first thing you want to do is find out who's interested in the house. You know, if you're not getting that much interest, then I would tell you, go with the lower interest rate and, but if there's a lot of interest in the house, 5.5% is super fair. That payment is very reasonable still. And all these people, that is better. This is pretty much what these people would be hoping to get at the bank. Hoping they couldn't, but they would be hoping to get it. So, so either way, you should make money on this either way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and something like this. Oh, go ahead, Nicole.
So just to recap what you did there, Jeff, to stay in the middle, is you upped the interest rate to 5.5, and then also the payment.
Yeah, and changes the payment.
Oh, well, so, yeah.
I didn't really change. The only thing I did, we left everything identical, which isn't ideal. My goal would be is to get in for less, right? Sell it for more. But because he got a good interest rate, he certainly could sell it at a higher interest rate. It still makes total sense. And people would be open to that. So because of the extra interest rate, creates that spread, which is, I don't know about you guys, but I know people that are putting down pretty hefty down payments and dealing with, tenants and whatever, and still not making $475 a month cash flow. So, in this case, you could be making it, and hopefully, you don't have another thing to do for 10 years.
So basically, Cody's making that extra 2%.
Yeah, he's arbitraging basically just the interest rate.
That's awesome.
And what it'll translate into is another almost $23,000 at the end, if it was to go all the way out to 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he'll always be ahead. Yeah. The 3.5% will pay down faster than the 5.5%.
And I suspect it's worth staying in there if possible, because even if they were to default on a payment, if I were to just wholesale it, the owner would probably come back to me for solutions as well.
Yeah. Right.
So either way, I'll be the solution guy. So I might as well get some income for it while I am doing that.
Totally agree. And really, as long as you're not advertising what the rate is, and to be honest, if you were trying to just get this done quickly, you should be advertising the rate. This is better than anyone can get at the bank. This would be easy, but I would at least spend 2 weeks advertising it and see what kind of interest you get. And I would take everyone's name and number, and then I would pitch them the second strategy, see what kind of interest there is. And if there's no interest, then go back to the people that showed interest, say, hey, I'm willing to do this if you're interested, and now see what happens.
And for these, how do you typically find a buyer? Because I've gone through like Facebook, KSL, and started to reach out to a lot of realtors in that specific area.
Yep.
Any other recommendations?
That's exactly what I would do. Okay. But I would look for, if I go the realtor route, which is going to be tougher on this one because you don't have much room, right? Mm-hmm. So, and realtors aren't going to love giving you their buyer and not making, you know, at least $5,000. So,
and that's what I've been trying to do is tell them 2.5% wouldn't work. I would do a flat fee of that $5,000.
Yeah. So, but what I think I would do is I would look into finding, first of all, I would look at, let's see if I can find any owner finance deals that have gone on in the area. So, see if I can locate who is doing those, right? Like the realtors that are involved. Those would be the ones that I'd want to contact. I'd want to contact people like, I'm actually looking for a particular type of realtor in this case. And I am not trying to be prejudiced or discriminatory at all, but Hispanic, you know, one of the, you know, like Muhammad, who works with us, he's from Iraq, Hispanic, Indian, Iraqi, any of those communities, those are typically going to be people that are having a harder time qualifying. It's not that white people, black people, whatever, don't have issues too. They do. But that is going to be, they typically have money saved up and they may need help financing a property. And you're offering basically as if you had pretty close to A credit. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're putting more money down than, you know, they were to go FHA or something, but so what? So I would try to locate, and they're realtors that work with those particular groups, right? Like, so like Muhammad, I would tell you has probably at least 6, 8, 10 buyers that are looking for owner. I don't know if they're looking in this particular area, but you know, they've got $50,000 to $150,000 to put down and they need owner finance. I mean, we talked about this earlier, Nicole, right? On a deal that you're working on. So I would search for those types of people that are part of different communities and try to reach out and say, I'm wondering if you have people in your community that are looking for owner finance type properties. And you might be able to go on Zillow. You might be able to go on the MLS. You might be able to go on Facebook groups and find the kind of stuff that you're looking for. But
thank you. Yeah. Yeah. That's super helpful. I mean, yeah. And setting it up this way makes almost 6 times as much over the 10 years. So yeah, this is always super helpful. Selfishly, I appreciate it just for me, and I know it's helpful for others as well.
Well, and I would tell you that, you know, if you went into this thinking that my guess is that when this guy said, this is the price that I want, that you immediately switched your exit strategy to, how do I just make some money on this? Maybe I'll just wholesale it. And mm-hmm. If you go back, well, actually... why don't you go back to sharing your screen just for one second? And I just want to show you one thing that I don't know if this would have made any difference. I don't know at all, but could have been something that that you could try going forward, right? So, so one is maybe... instead of offering this 3.5% that we offer more like a hybrid interest rate. Now, even if it's 3%, because you're going to get a little more rapid principal pay down that way. So
the hybrid, just as a reminder, is basically putting that number and then making the payment higher so there's more principal paid out.
Basically, yes. So if we did $400,000 at 3% for 120 months at $1,800 a month. So now your principal that you would owe, $288,000. Mm-hmm. So you'd gain another $12,000, which, hey, it's only, you know, a little over $1,000 a year, but it does make a difference.
That's almost $20,000 difference.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah. So now all of a sudden the payday is significantly better. Mm-hmm. What if we did something like this? What if for 1 year we paid $1,800 principal only? Mm-hmm. So that gives us $21,600. Okay. And we take that off the 400, right? That's what we would be paying on. So let's just call it 399 just to, I'm sorry, not 399. 400 minus 21. 379. Okay. And let's say that now we pay the 3.75%. So not changing a whole lot, right? All we're asking for is 12 months of principal only. Still giving him his price. Maybe we even give him a little more. Okay. Whoops. So it's 379, 3.75, 30 years. That's not right. So now the payment is $1,755. Not a huge difference, right? But hey, $40 a month for 10 years adds up. It's an extra $500 a year. And now if we, what the balloon would be after 9 years, because we've already done one. So it would be 108 months. So it's down to 305. Where are you? Oh, so it's only 307. So you'd probably need to make that, you'd have to blend this rate maybe for a couple years, 2 years principal, and maybe you offered, hey, I'll even pay you a little more, but I'll pay you your interest, but I need 2 years of principal only payments. That way, yep, you create some of that equity up front. When someone else is paying you interest, you're getting, you know, you're paying $1,800. You're making $21,600 per year. All of a sudden, you've created $42,000. You know, whoever you sell it to on 5.5% interest isn't creating $42,000 of pay down over 2 years.
Yeah, and I think that just shows how much there are levels to this and how you could be more creative at each step. Because I started with, hey, I'm just going to wholesale it and make about $15,000.
Yeah.
Then it turned into, no, you can mark it up a little bit, make a lot more, make closer to, what, $95,000.
Yeah.
Maybe you could try a hybrid interest rate, make $110,000. So it's learning to be creative and try different options and look at your exit strategies, because I didn't think about all that, and it's helpful to have that insight.
Well, and, you know, you, instead of making just one offer, by the way, you know, you didn't want this to be contract for deed if you stay in the middle. You wanted it to be, all-inclusive trust deed and note, and then you'll sell on contract for deed. Is it a deal breaker to not? No, not necessarily, but that would be the preference, right? Is to, if you were going to stay in the middle. So you had in your mind a particular exit. And really what the goal is that I want you to have some ideas of your exit in mind. I mean, that's how you are able to structure offers, but don't limit the ideas that may exist, because there may be more than what you kind of think of.
Yeah, that's super helpful.
Good. What do you think, Nicole?
This was super helpful. And I still don't get hybrid interest rate. Like, my brain doesn't compute. So you guys lost me there. But it was helpful to see how your thought process on being a little more creative. Like, I understand Cody had a exit strategy, but sometimes maybe we need to think of, be a little more creative.
Cody saw was that he was paying retail and that there was probably a small fee in it for him, which I'd love, because most people wouldn't even see it, right? Someone starts asking for retail, it'd be like, no thanks. And Cody's already like, hey, I can pay your price if I can get, my terms. I can figure out a way to make some money. And that's exactly what we're trying to do. But one of the things, if Cody's going to get, 3%, 3.5% interest, well, people are willing to pay more than that. And you saw that it can be a significant, even you selling the property for the same price that you're buying it for can still make you some money. Selling it for the same price that you would be wholesaling it to someone for, can make you some additional money. Really quickly, Nicole, because I can explain this hybrid interest rate. I think everyone tries to make this so difficult. We were using a $400,000 balance and 3%, right? So all you do, 400,000 times 0.03, okay? So simple interest calculation turns out to be $12,000, okay? That's the amount of interest you would pay for the year, okay? For the year. Or basically $1,000 a month, right? So if my payment in this case was $1,800, I am paying $1,800 times 12, that's $21,600, which basically means that $12,000 is going toward interest and $9,600, which is the difference between the interest and the total payment, is going toward principal. So now we're getting $9,600 that's paying down a year. In Cody's example, $400,000 at 3.75. Was it 400,000, Cody? It was the balance, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what was the payment? Was it 18? 17?
Yeah, 1796.
And why do I keep getting a different number? That was 3.75, right?
Yeah. Or 3.5.
Oh, 3.5. That's why I'm getting a different number. Okay. So... okay, so 1796, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you just amortize it over 30 years, okay, that person now owes $392,300, as opposed to getting, what was it, $9,000? It's not a huge difference in this case, but it is still a difference, right? And it will keep adding up. So I probably would have done even, like I said, I would have done 3% or 2.75, something like that. Even if I had to pay him a little more. Because, Cody, what did you tell me was the thing that he wanted the most?
The purchase price.
Yeah. So if we can offer him more money, I might have offered him $450, and said, I'll pay you this much, principal only, for this long. Oh, you want more? 460 then. If price, which is the motivating factor for most, listen, we want to hear that, and that, you know, but let's figure out ways that, hey, we can make this really work, right? So if he wasn't worried about the payment, maybe we could have even gotten it a little less. So maybe it was 1700 instead of close to 18. 1700, we're paying it down by 20,400. You know, in 10 years, that's $200,000 pay down. You can pay a premium if you get 10 years of principal only payments, right?
Yeah.
The only issue with that is you don't want to overpay too much because you can't charge your buyer that much, right? So, and if your buyer wanted to get refinanced early, you don't want them to. So, but I loved your offer, and I just wanted to bring up that there's a number of other ways that we can still try to look at it.
For sure. No, that's helpful. I always appreciate the feedback.
Yep. Good. Any other questions, Nicole?
Nope.
All right. Well, hopefully you enjoyed this episode. Go out and create some terms.